Jeremy Lin, who I guess posted on Instagram, this is the beauty of technology, even though it was already out there because Woj had reported it.
Right.
Working out a buyout with Atlanta. It's going to be cleared. He'll clear waivers come Wednesday, and then he's going to sign with the Raptors. So he obviously won't be playing tonight. But he jumped on Instagram and said, it's all good. Can't wait to get to Toronto. This is great. So Linsanity is coming to Toronto, and they're going to need him because Fred VanVleet has ligament damage in one of his thumbs, and he's out for a minimum of 3 weeks. So DeLon Wright's in Memphis. Now Fred's on the IR.
Right.
You're going to need some help here. So Jeremy Lin being signed here is really significant. It would have been significant anyway because he's a household name for the most part. Pretty good player. Buyout. But now he's going to play.
Linsanity.
Linsanity
is going to begin later in this week.
Later in the week. So Josh, he must have taped this hit on SportsCenter because I think we got him on the line.
All right.
Here's Josh Leuenberg, our TSN Raptors reporter. It's Marc Gasol's home debut tonight. What's the buzz like down at Scotiabank?
Well, there's Linsanity, there's Kawhi sanity today after Nick Nurse's comments, Gasol sanity, Fred sanity. This is a busier Monday than I'm used to.
Right. Well, we'll get to the Kawhi comments in a moment.
Okay.
Well, no, go ahead if you want to hit on them.
That's where I was going to go. I mean, did those comments, is that gain respect from the player? He's like, you know what, he's right, or does that ruffle feathers? I kind of give the coach credit saying he's got to find something here for the team, doesn't he?
Well, it's a bit surprising, if for no other reason than, I mean, the Raptors as an organization have really been walking on eggshells around Kawhi this year, and maybe that's why this was refreshing, because I do think you need to hold him accountable in the same way that you would other guys, and Nick Nurse, to his credit, especially as a first-year head coach, has not been afraid to do that this year. He had similar comments about Kyle Lowry when he was in his slump earlier this year, and of course there's reasons for these slumps, like Lowry was battling an injury, but at the same time, the Raptors needed him to be better, and Nick Nurse said, we need him to be better. Kawhi, I mean, he's been battling, I think, a knee thing, so maybe that has something to do with it, but they need him to be better. So I give Nick Nurse a lot of credit for saying we need him to be better. At the same time, I don't want to overreact to this, because this is the time of the year, as you guys know, where players, not just NBA players, all athletes around the All-Star break midseason, they can take the foot off the gas, and it's the coach's job to try and light the fire underneath them. I think the biggest issue here in my takeaway from all of this is, if the Raptors expect Kawhi to start to ramp things up at some point over these next couple months, these final 25 games, they've really got to consider increasing that workload, because I think that's the biggest thing here, is how can you expect a guy to maintain and build any kind of momentum or rhythm when he plays one of every four games, when he's in and out of the lineup. So to me, that's sort of the biggest reason I think why Kawhi has maybe been disengaged lately, is because he's been a part-time player for the Raptors this year.
No, I don't think that's a coincidence at all. I mean, load management, like you said, he just got four games off like a week and a half ago. So if you're giving this guy that much time off, I think rust is to be expected. I don't think he's playing that poorly. He didn't play well on Saturday night. They still got the win. He's in a bit of a shooting slump, but I still think he's been fairly aggressive offensively. But I like this message, just symbolically, from Nick Nurse, that, you know, the shackles are off here in terms of us treating Kawhi like a professional athlete, like any other pro athlete. What Nurse said was not disrespectful. It was truthful. He knows Kawhi has the capability, unlike many players in the league, maybe 95% of the league, where he can dominate a game. And he can step on a court and say, I'm going for 40 tonight, we're not losing. And your best player is going to set the tone for the whole team. It's going to permeate through the whole room. And they need that out of Kawhi Leonard. Regardless of what happens on July 1st, we're playing real meaningful games. And I think this should build some respect between Kawhi and Nick Nurse and the organization, because I think if Kawhi felt like they were tiptoeing around him at all times, then at some point you're going to be like, these guys are jokers. You got to step up to the plate and treat them like a pro athlete. And I think Nurse did that.
I agree with you. And I've been really impressed with Nick Nurse this year from that side of things. I think when they hired him, the assumption was he was going to be a good in-game coach, the X's and O's and the in-game adjustments and all that. That was probably his biggest selling point. But the big question that I had, and I think a lot of people had, is what about those other qualities that a head coach needs, or the other parts of the job, the off-the-court stuff, things like selling players on their roles and keeping the room together, or in this case, holding guys accountable and being that tough guy that a coach sometimes needs to be. As we talked about with Lowry and with Kawhi, at least publicly, he's done those things this year. But even in terms of, and this sort of segues into the Gasol conversation, even in terms of selling guys on sacrifice, on their roles, he had a really tough conversation with Serge Ibaka and Jonas Valanciunas before the season even started, selling them on that platoon that in the end worked out really well for both players, brought out the best in them and ultimately in the team. But that's not something that every coach can do or even would do, because both of those guys for the bulk of their careers have been starters. And now he's got a situation where you've got Pascal Siakam and Serge Ibaka, both of whom have been starting and both of whom have been having career seasons. And Marc Gasol, who's only come off the bench 8 times in his 770-game career, only 2 of those guys can start, and probably more importantly, only 2 of those guys can close games on any given night. So he's going to have to make a tough call here. He's going to have some tough conversations, but he's proven this year that he's willing to do it and capable of doing it. And I think the Raptors' success for the rest of the season is going to depend on his ability now to sell guys on these things and to ultimately keep this group together.
With Josh Leuenberger, TSN Raptors reporter, Raptors Nets tonight on TSN Radio. In terms of that rotation, you know, I don't think it was unexpected that Gasol would start on the bench and maybe have some limited minutes on Saturday night. But if you can fast forward, look into the future, game one of the playoffs, how would you compare the minutes? How do you see the minutes being dispersed between him and Ibaka in particular?
Yeah, I don't think splitting the minutes between 3 front court players is that tough. As you know, I'm not so great with the math, so I'm not going to do it. But you've got 48 minutes to work with a game at the power forward position. You've got 48 minutes to work with at the center position. You split that up amongst 3 guys. They're still getting 30-plus minutes per game. But as I said, I think the biggest – even starting isn't that big of a deal. But the biggest decision is going to be at the end of the game. The idea that you can only have 2 of those guys on the floor, I mean, maybe in some situations, and Nurse mentioned this morning, maybe in some situations against bigger teams you try and play Siakam some at the 3. He's versatile enough defensively to guard 3s, and because he can handle the ball, he gives you some flexibility there. He doesn't shoot the ball great still, so that might be the concern, but I think they'll try some different things there. Obviously, you want your best players on the floor at the end of games. My best guess in terms of how this will play out is probably Ibaka coming off the bench. And I say that because I really don't think Siakam, he's been borderline all-star this year. I don't think you can send him to the bench. Gasol, given his track record and the price that you just paid to get him, I can't see them bringing him off the bench in a 20-minute per game JV type role. He's too good for that. He's too versatile to be in a situational role like that. Ibaka, I mean, he's been so good at the center position this year that that's probably the biggest reason not to shift him to the 4 to start him next to Gasol. So maybe the solution is bringing Ibaka off the bench, so he's still playing center. You split him and Gasol up a little bit, and you do have Ibaka playing alongside Gasol a little bit. He's played power forward for most of his career, so he knows how to do it. But I think in the end, this is a good problem to have. Most teams would kill to have 3 big men of this quality. So they'll figure it out, and that's something that Nurse talked about today, is using these last 25 games to experiment. And that's another selling point that Nurse had when he got this job, is the idea that he's open to being creative and to tinker. So now he's got the weapons and the pieces to do it. Let's see how he does.
Well, and that will apply to Jeremy Lin coming aboard, where he is going to be bought out in Atlanta. And as of Wednesday evening, he can officially sign and lock in with the Raptors. And that was big news anyway, and now Fred VanVleet, we know, is going to be out for a minimum of 3 weeks with some ligament damage in his left thumb. Prior to the VanVleet angle or, you know, caveat, how did you feel about Jeremy Lin choosing the Raptors and, I guess, the Raptors selling him on coming here?
Well, I'm going to get nostalgic with you guys, if that's okay.
Yeah,
go for it. I immediately flash back to almost exactly 7 years ago. It was 7 years ago on this coming Thursday, Valentine's Day 2012, when he was here with the Knicks at like the peak of Lin's sanity. He scores 27 points. He hits that game-winning 3. And I've never seen anything like it. I mean, this building was crazy. Outside of maybe Kobe Bryant, I've never heard Toronto fans cheer for a visiting player like they did for Jeremy Lin. The media that day was nuts, to the point where the Raptors after the game, I mean, normally when guys talk after the game, it's in the locker room or outside the locker room. That game, the media coverage in Toronto was so nuts that the Raptors actually had to set up a podium in the media room for Jeremy Lin. And they've only, in the 8 years that I've been covering the team, they've only done that three times. They did that for Chris Bosh's return in 2010 with the big three. They did that for Kobe Bryant's final game. And then they did that for Jeremy Lin. And by the way, they're planning on doing it for DeMar DeRozan later this month when he makes his return. But he was such a big deal 7 years ago. And that's why this is so interesting, because moments after Woj broke the story today, Jeremy Lin is trending on Twitter. I think he was the number one trending topic in Canada. And then just below him was Linsanity. So even still, even after all this time, when people hear Jeremy Lin, they think of Linsanity. And he's not Linsanity anymore. And he's probably pretty happy about that, because he seems more comfortable just being Jeremy Lin. But Jeremy Lin, the player, not Linsanity, the movement, but Jeremy Lin, the player, has turned himself into a really good, really solid NBA pro, one of the best backup point guards there is in the NBA, a guy that's been snake bitten a little bit with injuries over the years, but is healthy this year, was having a bounce back year in Atlanta. And I think he's a really good fit for the Raptors. I'm kind of not looking forward to the media circus that's probably going to be here, at least in its first few games. It's going to be crowded in that locker room, but I think he's a really good fit for the Raptors given their situation.
Great stuff, Josh. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you, buddy.
All right, boys. Talk to you soon.
Josh Lewenberg, Brooklyn in town tonight. You can hear it right here on TSN 1050 pregame at 7 p.m.